Well, that means if Craig says we're recording, then it must mean we're recording. And what that
nothing
means
bad
is that
could ever happen.
Nothing bad will ever happen on this podcast. And what that means is that our week break is over and that we have officially returned to Lomo's Most Wanted after the movies. I said that backwards. I should have said we've now returned to after the movies, Lomo's Most Wanted edition, where we look at some of our favorite films and some of our least favorite films. And buddy, this week we watched one of my favorite films. Just kidding. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
I haven't said this about any film we've watched yet, Aaron, but this film is a steaming pile of shit.
I think this is maybe
welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to the show. We have been pretty, I think, careful about the way that we criticize movies in the past. Yep. Especially
I'm taking out the clubs.
But this deserves everything that we throw at it, I think. We are watching the 2008 American remake of the J-horror film One Missed Call, directed by
Eric Vallette,
whose name is notably not blue on Wikipedia, so I can't tell you if he's done anything else. What I can tell you is that the movie is written by Andrew Klavan. And what I can tell you about Andrew Klavan, we don't get political on this podcast.
Not a lot of blue on these names that were part of this production, Aaron. Not a lot to go off.
No, and so this movie is written by a man named Andrew Klavan, who, again, we don't get political on this show, but he writes for Ben Shapiro, which he's, let's just, if you look at his Wikipedia, it'll tell you what you need to know. He's an A-plus dipshit. He also wrote a movie, called Gosnell, The Trial of America's Biggest Serial Killer. And it is a film about an abortion provider. And we won't get into the thick of it, but that's just kind of, if you're wondering about the mind where this film came from, outside of probably just blatantly pulling things from the original source material, Andrew Klavan is the guy. So he wrote this hunk of shit. And we watched it because, much like Son of the Mask, I remember seeing this in theaters. I remember getting a box of Reese's Pieces, which is unique because I don't usually get candy at movies. Then I went with some friends. Probably not really having any expectations whatsoever. But this doesn't happen often. I left the movie theater just being like, that was garbage. Like, absolute trash. And just kind of knowing, as an easy-to-please, you know, middle schooler, just knowing that the movie that I had just watched was, like, awful.
You want to know how bad this movie is? As I can't remember a single thing from this movie, I'm relying on Wikipedia to help me, to guide me, to make this podcasting journey a little bit easier. But you know what? Most times when they're blue, you're like, oh, let me give some more production information. You know what information it gives you? Hospital. A hospital is a healthcare institution. A cell phone. A cell phone or a hand phone, sometimes shortened to simply mobile or just a phone. That's the production notes I get, is what these words mean. Police department, hallucinations, and cell phones. Nothing about the actual movie, though.
Literally just linking to the devices that are used in the film. The movie is notorious. It is actually, we should say, because we said this for Son of the Mask as well, it's award-winning, because it won the Moldy Tomato Award.
Oh, congrats, Moldy Tomatoes.
Became the worst-reviewed film of 2008, receiving a 0% rating approval on Rotten Tomatoes. And to me, this is like how you know the movie's bad, is because we didn't do this thing to pick these movies. We didn't do this thing where we pulled up a list of, like, the worst movies of all time. Oh, like, we should watch The Room. It's the worst movie of all time. This was just, like, from memory. Oh, when I was a teenager, I saw that one movie in theaters, and it, like, sucked. we should watch that. And then looking it up and realizing, oh, I'm not the only person that had that experience. It's literally 0% of people, 0% of critics polled got any enjoyment out of this film.
I had negative fun with this film, Aaron. the film owes me more fun. I had a negative fun experience. Not too many times in my life where I use the term negative fun. But I had negative fun watching this film. Spent a lot of time on my phone going through my missed calls more than I did enjoying this film. So
it is probably effectively the least scary movie I've ever seen in my life. I would say that it is the opposite of frightening. I think you could show this movie to a baby and they would be probably okay with it. I do
probably
have
help put them to sleep.
Before we get into the just abyss of awfulness that there is, I did want to say one thing, and that is that the one thing that I liked in this was there's a moment when they're in the mental hospital, they're tracking down the person that made the original call, or they're trying to, and they find, I think her name is Maria, they find her dead body. There are some shots in there where the dead body is practical effects. And that is the only good thing that I have to say about this movie, is that the practical effects for her body look pretty good. That would probably be like the one nice thing I have to say about this, is that I was, because of how bad everything else was, when that came on, I was like, oh, that's actually, I can look at that and that's actually looks decent.
The only part of this film that I remember is the church scene. The only thing that's sticking in my head right now is the church scene. For good or for bad, that's really the only thing at this point in time on this podcast that I would love to grow and to be a prominent film podcast. I'm sitting here like, I don't remember this film we watched. And well, that's not my fault. That's the film's fault.
It is the film's fault. It's also our fault for not recording this until like 2 weeks after we watched the movie.
They don't need to know that.
That's okay. We need to hold ourselves accountable. But listen, it is the movie's fault 100%. And the reason that that scene sticks out in your mind is because it is insanely bizarre to have that scene in this movie. Like, this movie feels like, a general premise is that there are people getting phone calls from themselves, or they're getting a missed call from the person that just died, and when they check their voicemail, they hear themselves, and it's dated from the future, and then they die whenever the call is dated. And so it feels like they ran out of movie, because like the movie happens and then like 3/4 of the way in, and this is pulled from the Takashi, we should say the original version of this film is Japanese. It's directed by Takashi Miike, who has directed Audition and is a very well-known horror director in the category of J-horror, and he's a good filmmaker. Now, when I look up One Missed Call, the original one, it doesn't seem to be his best reviewed film, but it seems to be, like, mixed. It is kind of just divisive between fans and critics. It is not, like, a 0% or anything. So I have to think that there's just some tact, obviously, to the way that he directs things, and he probably tackles some concepts with a little more thought. But it is insane that, like, 3/4 of the way into this movie, a guy shows up from Twin Peaks, and he's like, I have a TV show, and I want to put you on TV, and I want to exercise. He doesn't sound Southern, but it just, in my head, it's like this. I want to exercise that cell phone demon from you.
Yeah, you know a film's good when they're like, all right, we're running out of things, what do we do? And they're like, all right, hear me out. We're going to film another film inside this film, to show the process of filming this film in our film. And you're
yes.
Like, oh, no. I don't like.
What's also insane is the rationalization for what he's doing is that he says that, like, ghost energy happens on the same wavelength or spectrum as cell phone and microwave energy, which I'm not even sure that those two things are in reality on the same wavelength of energy, but it's just like gobbledy, you know, like mess jangle, you know, just like jargon.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but he wants to have this girl on his show, and her friend convinces her not to do it, and then she does anyways, and she dies during this exorcism. There's actually, you know what? There's one shot, there's one other shot that is pretty cool in this. It's probably pulled from the original, so if it is, then it doesn't really get credit. But when the eyes of the statue start to bleed, I was like, all right, that's pretty spooky. Otherwise,
I would strongly guess that was pulled from the original film.
I would as well.
How bad this film is, I don't think they came up with that on their own. There's no way they just had a moment of clarity while they were filming this. They're like, oh, that's a good idea.
Right. Well, let's talk about like what's wrong with this, because the first thing that comes to mind, and kind of, I guess, when I first saw this as a teenager, I was like, the reason this sucked is because it's PG-13. And I don't agree with that now, because there's a lot of R-rated horror movies that suck. There's a lot of R-rated movies that suck in general. And there's a lot of good PG-13 films and horror films. But at the time, that was kind of just what I was thinking. And it does have a little bit of an impact, because there is one kill. There's one. You see blood once in this movie, outside of the eyes, the statue thing. You see one of the characters gets impaled by a construction site thing, and you see still relatively bloodless. It's like his shirt is like bloody, but it's like that is like the one time that you see kind of this like on-screen death. I mean, and there's no lack of that in the movie. I mean, in the story, at the end of the film, the cop gets his eye like stabbed through an eye hole, but you don't see anything. He's like, ah, my eye. Like that's the extent of what you get. And so I do think that's part of it. It's hard to have a big part of horror, obviously, is kills. It's like a comedy movie with jokes. Maybe not kills, but scares. And if your horror movie doesn't have scares, or at the very least kills that the audience can remember, of course they're not going to remember anything.
Yeah, I think it would have had to have, well, it failed on all of those levels. You know, it failed on the scares, it failed on the kills. It wasn't scary, it wasn't frightening, it didn't leave you, you know, and even if I think you could go out and think, too, if maybe it didn't have, you know, the best kills, maybe it didn't have the best scares, but if it left you thinking at the end of this film, it still would have been successful. It would have been more thought provoking or give you a sense of paranoia with it in the way that they set up this world, it would have been successful, but neither of those happened.
Yeah, instead it resorts to, like, this is my least favorite trope during this, like, period of horror, because I recently watched the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake from 2003, which is okay. It's like solid, I guess. But that movie does it. I would say probably the Hills Have Eyes remake does it. There's this thing of just like, let's grab things that are creepy from an objective standpoint, even though they have nothing to do with our movie, and just have those things be there. So like in Texas Chainsaw, it's like, there's like, these people live in these like old houses. They're like dirty for no reason, and there's like jars of weird liquid on the shelves. And in this movie, it's like millipedes. They're like, look, there's like centipedes everywhere. People hate that, right? That's scary, right? There's like a, you know, like, and that thing is like has zero connection to the story. And they try to kind of weasel in this thing where it's like, oh, when the girl died, she, you know, had a pet millipede, I guess, but like it doesn't translate. The moment I knew this movie was like, sorry, but this movie was fucked. the moment, like, it was bad, but the moment where I was just like, oh, this is like next level bad, is when our main character is exploring the mental hospital, and there's a room with a crib, and there's like a demon baby that turns around with a cell phone in his hands. It's just like, oh, it's scary demon baby, bah! Like, it's not a jump scare, it's just there, and it's not scary.
We are finding a thread here of all of our bad movies so far have had weird stuff with babies. So maybe that's just an indicator if you're thinking about putting a baby in your film and doing weird stuff with it, like CGI or making a demon baby. Just don't.
Just don't do it.
Just don't do it, because you'll end up on Lomo's Most Wanted, and you don't want to do that.
Does that mean your two movies, which I believe you still have to pick, are going to be super geniuses and or baby geniuses? And
I'm in Boss Baby. Yeah, I'm in Boss Baby. We're going to watch Boss Baby 1 and Boss Baby 2. I was reading a little bit here, Aaron. So they were, this movie was heavily marketed, as well as numerous competitions to promote the film, with all of them winning an iPhone.
What?
So this film ran numerous marketing competitions to promote the film, with the first prize being an Apple iPhone in all of them. So that's
that must have been expensive, because in 2008.
Well, I think that's where they got 19 million of their budget from. So this was a budget of 20 million. They had to pay $19 million in iPhones and then $1 million to make the film. That would make sense. That makes sense to me.
That would make sense.
It did, however, earn $45.8 million at the box office, yes. So not a huge...
No. That's the thing. It's like, these movies were designed for dumb little shits like me in 2008 to go see. They're PG-13 on purpose, so that dumb little shits like me in 8th grade can go with their friends, get dropped off at the movies by their mom, and not that there's anything wrong with that. And funnel in to see a PG-13 horror movie, you know, like, that's it. It is specifically designed for, you know, I don't think any self-respecting, like, horror fan over the age of 21 is, like, stoked to see the One Missed Call remake in 2008.
No, but I mean, if there's anybody out there listening and you actually, so I'm being serious when I say this, as much as I hated this film, as much as I don't think there's a single person on this planet who thinks this is a good film, if you like this film and you're listening to this podcast, please reach out to me so I can talk to you about this. I want to know why you like this film. And that's not me making fun of you. That's not me saying anything. I really would like to know, because this is the first film in a long time that I've watched going into it. And now, there's bad films just for the sake of being a bad film, but this film wasn't made to be a bad film.
Right. And I think the other thing, too, so originally, peek behind the curtain, my picks for Lomo's Most Wanted for my least favorite films were The Mist and Halloween 2. These are movies that I hate, like legitimately hate with a passion. Like I
also hate The Mist, and I am this close to selecting it still.
Can do it. We'll see. It's like, this is different, because when I watched this, I didn't like hate the movie. It's the worst kind of movie, because it's boring. It doesn't lend itself to conversation. Like, the thing that I will say about The Mist, and that I'll say about like Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, is that they are so, the decisions I hate about them are so insane in the things that they do and the choices they make, that it's like, I can talk to someone about why this is the way it is, why it bothers me, and I can almost understand why other people like it, because at least it committed to making a decision, even if I don't agree with that. This movie feels like a waste of film. Like, it's literally kind of just this idea that, like, nothing really happens. It's boring. It doesn't make choices. There's nothing inherently interesting about it. There's already a version of it that exists that's better.
And yeah, I agree with you.
What else? Like, I mean, I'm surprised that we have gotten this much episode out of it, because there's just nothing to really chew on.
Yeah, we are doing a good job of dragging this episode out. So thank you if you made it this far and watch this. But I mean, honestly, everybody, it's not, even if there's a lot of films that we could have watched and taken a break and still had plenty to talk about this film. But I can't even explain to you, if you haven't seen this film, how none of it is memorable, and not even the bad parts of this film are memorable. That's how, like, they're just a space in my head where it just skipped over a day.
Yeah. It's like a cinematic equivalent of Will Smith, hitting you with the neuralizer from Men in Black. Like you just, it's like missing time when people get abducted by aliens and they're like, oh, I just lost like an hour and 45 minutes. It's empty calories and not in a fun way. You know, it's not like a junk food fun. It's just bad.
No, it's like you were like bored and you just ate a bunch of circus peanuts. And then you looked at yourself and you're like, did I just really eat a whole bag of circus peanuts?
Right. I didn't even enjoy
yourself. Just feel bad about yourself.
Well, and so even the end, I mean, like you talk about nothing happening. You got these kills where nothing happens. Also, interesting to me is that in the beginning of the movie, they make one decision. I'll tell you that. And that decision is to kill the cat, which doesn't bother me. I'm not like one of those people that like, it's like, you know, I love horror movies, but don't you dare kill the dog. Like, I mean, I love my cats. I have cats. Seeing a cat get pulled into a lake or whatever in the movie was like just a movie. But there is specifically a screenwriting book called Don't Kill the Cat. And it's about these kind of audience decision, like screenwriting tips and how to make a movie that audiences like. And there's a movie called Drag Me to Hell that's very good. That I do recommend, that Sam Raimi directed. A lot of fun. That's a great PG-13 horror movie, actually. Go watch that. Watch that. And if you haven't watched this movie, don't watch it. Just go watch Drag Me to Hell instead. But they make a decision in that movie to kill the cat, and it's, like, earned almost. Like, it almost winks at you because it knows what it's doing, and it's like, the audience is like, no, they're not gonna... Are they really? And here, it's just, A, kind of tasteless, but also, B... The movie is boring enough that you don't even care that they killed off a cat. You're like, whatever. You don't, it's nothing is believable. There's no stakes. It doesn't matter that this cat just died, you know, just kind of like, oh, the movie did that, you know?
That reminds me of a film that I think I'm going to pick for my least favorite film. Finally, but I can't remember what it is. I'm hoping that you remember, but the whole point is they're stuck in an elevator.
It's called Devil.
Yep.
It is. I don't know if M. Night Shyamalan directed that one or just produced it.
But I was thinking of that as...
That I saw in theaters.
I was thinking as you were talking and it just popped into my head. I was like, is that one of my least favorite films that I can remember? And possibly it is.
So not directed by M. Night Shyamalan, but based on a story that he wrote. I'll tell you what. I was actually just thinking about rewatching this. So if you were to pick this... And or the Mist, or both, or neither.
I think I'm going to pick. You heard it here first, folks. Is we're gonna watch Devil and then Knowing.
Oh, yes, Nicolas Cage. All right, I'm here for it. Which one do you hate more? Which one do you think you hate more?
Devil.
All right, we'll watch Devil.
I don't even think I hate Knowing, but I just remember watching it in theaters. So as you were talking about how you picked your films of the ones that you liked the least, I thought back to some unmemorable theater experiences and from, you know, 2000 to 2010, whatever. And I remember that being one of them for whatever reason.
It's a crazy movie. And I don't remember anything. I didn't see that one in theaters, but I watched it once and I don't remember anything about it other than, I think it's like Nick Cage and Aliens, maybe if I remember correctly. I think so.
It's about numbers. I remember that. It has something to do with numbers.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this could be a film that we put on our least favorite films and Aaron and I come on the pod and we're like, you know what? Hey, we actually enjoyed it.
That's what I'm excited about. I feel very strongly that One Missed Call is going to be the worst movie we watch this season.
Oh, 100%.
Especially based on your picks. I'm not expecting to necessarily love Devil or Knowing. Maybe I will. But I think that this is pretty much without a doubt going to be the worst thing that we subject ourselves to.
There's no way we could pick a worse film.
Look,
but that was so funny, though.
What I'm saying is, like, Son of the Mask... I picked that because I was like, man, I hated that movie when I saw it in theaters. And I didn't hate it when I watched it now. I understood why I didn't like it then. And I still think it's a bad, bad movie. But, like, there are some insane moments in that movie that you won't... The end of the movie And the weird colors and everything, like, you won't forget that.
Yeah, know? I still remember Son of the Mask more than I remember this film.
Right. Me too. And that's what I'm saying. It's just a... I think what I wanted to do with this exercise was, like, here are these weird, forgotten moments in my little movie history, and I want to re-explore them. And can't say I'm glad we did.
No, but it has been a test in our growth as podcasters, though. If we would have watched this when we first started, this episode would have been 6 minutes long, or us just stammering over each other for 10 minutes. We actually got a whole episode out of this, which is
shocking.
I'm very happy about.
I do have one other thing to mention to you. This is fascinating, and maybe we'll do it as a bonus episode. I don't know if other people will... No, well, I don't know how many of our listeners know this or follow, but you have a stream, you play games, and your name is Ballistic Low.
Mm-hmm.
So it says here, this was not only rated the worst film of 2008.
Is it Ballistic X versus...
It was rated the second worst film of the 2000s, the whole decade, behind Ballistic X versus Server.
Yep.
A movie I have not seen, but I am borderline... The masochist in me is like, we gotta watch this at some point. Based on the connection to your name, and also based on the fact that we've already stooped this low.
So we haven't talked about this much on the podcast, but maybe we'll do it now since we have some time, is we are getting closer to doing watch parties over. We just created a Twitch channel that's going to be used for watch parties, react content, just going live, some board games, whatever we decide to. It's going to just be its own breathing, living organism of whatever we decide it to be. But we are going to do a lot of watch parties. And after skimming through Amazon Prime and trying to find some bad movies, I feel like we have a good premise of just watching some bad movies together and kind of riffing on them as we do it. So
yeah,
keep an eye out for that since we're talking about streaming. Probably maybe by April we'll start it.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Yeah, I think that would be great. And we have a friend who you probably know from the sketches, Jesse, who will be... I'm sure we'll be happy to join us on some of those because he's been talking specifically about wanting to watch some bad movies with us. And I think that would be a great time. So, all right. Well, I think that's all I have to say about One Missed Call. We never opened the bar, and I don't think that we also didn't open it when we recorded the Kingsman episode, which will be out next week. But we didn't do that because we had a guest on, and I felt embarrassed. So, for this movie, I'm not even going to open it. This movie is so bad that it doesn't even deserve the option to come in.
No,
it's just closed.
We actually heard that One Missed Call was coming into town, so Aaron and I took a vacation. We even took the Lomo Lounge sign down from our bar.
Yes.
It honestly just looks like an empty building at this point. So we're going to open it back up for, you know, coming up for our Thursday episode. We'll open it back up for Coherence.
Yes.
But not for
there's
One
a bunch
Call.
Of millipedes and demon babies just sitting around, like, kind of peering into the windows and wanting us to open. And, you know, we're watching safely from home.
But, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show where if you ever wanted to support our dream of becoming full-time content creators, or you just have some extra money you want to throw at the show to make our audio better, our content better, whatever you want, you can join us at patreon.com/lomomedia. We have two separate tiers. They all include behind-the-scenes content and this podcast a day earlier in its video form. So if you ever wanted to support us, that is a great way to do so.
Absolutely. And if you cannot afford to throw us a few bucks, we understand and we appreciate you listening. There are a few ways that you can help us out. If you like the show, you can share it with a friend. If there's a certain episode you like, you can share that on social media. You can also interact with us on social media. We've been having some good conversations with some fans and would love to have more conversations about the movies we're watching, hear about, you know, if there's a movie you want to hear us cover, we would certainly be interested in that. You can also go on Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, which I think is within Apple Music, and leave us a review. 5-star review would be super, super helpful to help people find the show. And I will be keeping an eye on that so that we can read any reviews that we get on air. The last thing I do want to say, and this is going to sound very silly, coming from our little podcast corner of the world, but we are fortunate enough that we have some listeners in Ukraine. So I just want to say that to anyone who does listen to the show, stay safe, and we hope you're doing okay as you can be, and just know that we're thinking of you. And again, it's very silly because we are where we are, and we, you know, we just come on and talk about movies, and we have this little show, and we don't have a ton of impact on things like that. But if the show is something you enjoy or look forward to, then I hope it brings you some kind of comfort, and we hope that you stay safe.
I hope it does as well, and stay safe, please.
So without further ado, that has been the show. We're not, again, the bar is not being closed because it was never open, but we will return on Thursday where we are talking about the 2013 film Coherence, now streaming on Amazon, and let me say, you'll want to watch that one. Don't watch this movie, but watch that one.
And then next week, what do we have in store, Aaron?
Next week, we have Casino, all 3 hours of Casino, and we have The King's Man, which we just recorded with our friend James from Film Corps, and it is currently streaming on Hulu, and I think it may also be on HBO Max right now. So, yeah. But otherwise, we hope you guys have a great rest of your week. We hope you tune in on Thursday, and thank you for listening.
Have a good one, everybody. See you on Thursday.